Well, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, little ones. It is Wednesday, June 14th, 2023, 1740 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green with you. Today, I want to talk about a little bit of my history. In 1967, we moved, our family did, when I was 10 years old, from 15 Faraday Crescent to 21 Frontenac Crescent in Deep River. It wasn't a long distance, but it was a bigger house. And I was going into grade 6 in that year, and this was the year when the song was released that we're about to hear, hopefully. It was a song sung by Louis Armstrong, and it reached number 1 in the UK and in Austria in between the years 1967 and 68. It was released in September of 67. And what is, I don't even know the name of the song, because it's, you know, I know it's probably something similar, but yeah, it's What a Wonderful World, it's called.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them. Much more than I ever knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
That song did not really reach the U.S. in that year because it was not promoted by ABC Records, whose president disliked the song and refused to promote it. But in a re-release, as it was re-released actually in 1988, and then on the chart, it was number 32 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. In Canada, it was number 6. Of course, Canada was affected by the U.S., so we didn't get the song in 67 quite so well, probably, either. Because if the U.S. didn't promote it, then we weren't going to hear it. But it was number 10 on the RPM Top Singles in Canada, and number 6 on the Adult Contemporary RPM chart in Canada, but also number 1 in Belgium and Australia, both. And number 2 in the Netherlands, these are in 1988. And that was on the Dutch Top 40, but also number 5 on the Single Top 100 in the Netherlands, and number 8 in New Zealand, number 7, I think I probably mentioned already, in the U.S. Billboard Adult Contemporary. But what a apparently controversial song in its time when I was 10 years old. To be truthful, we have to be very careful what we say or write on ancient history, especially in cases where the facts are partly or wholly lacking, even doubtful. We are in double jeopardy here because of not having specific credentials as student of historical matters, writing about things no serious scholar would attempt. We're reading from Wild Road Ahead to History, Part 2, Chapter 11, Paragraph 10, by yours truly. The situation of an Olympic ski jumper known as, quote, Eddie the Eagle, unquote, as described in the movie of the same name from 2016, he's a famous ski jumper to most Olympic fans, Eddie the Eagle. His situation is perhaps analogous as the efforts of the untrained athlete result at one point in the obviously ridiculous words of British Team Selections Committee, quote, "We will not have amateurs in the Olympics," end quote. And that's sick. Sick, S-I-C, is a word that means written and quoted exactly as it was originally. That's what S-I-C means. That word, sick. Eddie the Eagle, it was from the film Eddie the Eagle. It was about Eddie the Eagle, that statement that the British Team Selections Committee made. "We will not have amateurs in the Olympics," they said. Eddie the Eagle, 2016, was the film by 20th Century Fox. These remarks are necessary because we are writing in this chapter about Memnon, a figure from, in italics, Iliad, which is a work of Homer, which Homer being a great writer, a Greek writer, well-known ancient writer, which is to say, speaking about Memnon, that what we are doing is remarkable. In this work, we do draw upon Sir Isaac Newton, himself a very talented astronomer and mathematician, who thus, with scholarship, wrote about this as well-read author. What also makes it necessary that we report on this is that it is only in our BG chronology, in brackets, which is similar to that of Newton and Crosthwaite, end bracket, do we find temporal capacity to incorporate the characters in the history. Only in our BG chronology do we find temporal capacity to incorporate the characters in the history. In other words, temporal capacity meaning space in time. In the timeline, we find the space to incorporate the characters in the history. Having said that, Sir Isaac Newton gives an astounding number of details surrounding the time period here discussed. For example, the ship Argo, in italics, Argo, made on the pattern of the long ship by which Danaus came into Greece, was built for the Argonautic journey, in italics, Argonautic journey, about 934 BCE by the son of Danaus, who was named Argus, as the story goes. And this is talked about at some length, some of the details by Sir Isaac Newton. Quote, "Nauplius, the Argonaut, was born in Greece of Amymone, one of the daughters of Danaus, and of Neptune," end quote. "A man called by Newton," quote, "the brother and admiral of Danaus," end quote. And that's the end of the paragraph. Now, footnote 1 says a quote from the Olympic movement founder, contrary to what was spoken about Eddie the Eagle. "The most important thing in the Olympic Games is not winning, but taking part. The essential thing in life is not conquering, but fighting well." That was from Pierre de Coubertin, French educator and historian and founder of the International Olympic Committee. That's definitely worth adding there. And there's more in the footnotes if you'd like to read it. We've got some longer readings today, so we're going to move on, children. Proverbs 16 and 8 is our proverb for today, little ones. And it says, better is a little with righteousness than an abundance of products without justice. How true that is. And now, Leviticus 14. And Jehovah continued to speak to Moses, saying, this will become the law of the leper in the day for establishing his purification, when he must be brought to the priest. And the priest must go forth outside the camp, and the priest must look, and if the plague of leprosy has been cured in the leprous one, the priest must then give command, and he must take for cleansing himself 2 live clean birds and cedar wood and caucus scarlet material and hyssop, and the priest must give command, and the one bird must be killed in an earthenware vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he should take it and the cedar wood and the caucus scarlet material and the hyssop, and he must dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. Then he must spatter it 7 times upon the one cleansing himself from the leprosy. Let me just reset the EQ here. And he must pronounce him clean after spattering the blood upon the one cleansing himself. And he must send away the living bird over the open field. And the one cleansing himself must wash his garments and shave off all his hair and bathe in water and must be clean. And afterward he may come into the camp. And he must dwell outside his tent 7 days. And it must occur on the 7th day that he should shave off all his hair on his head and his chin and his eyebrows. Yes, he should shave off all his hair, and he must wash his garments and bathe his flesh in water, and he must be clean. And on the 8th day he will take 2 sound young rams and 1 sound female lamb in its first year, and 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering moistened with oil, and 1 log measure of oil. And the priest who pronounces him clean must present the man who is cleansing himself and the things before Jehovah at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And the priest must take the 1 young ram and offer it for a guilt offering together with the log measure of oil, and must wave them to and fro as a wave offering before Jehovah. And he must slaughter the young ram in the place where the sin offering and the burnt offering are regularly slaughtered, in a holy place, because like the sin offering, the guilt offering belongs to the priest. It is something most holy. And the priest must take some of the blood of the guilt offering, and the priest must put it upon the lobe of the right ear of the one cleansing himself, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the big toe of his right foot. That's the blood of the guilt offering. And the priest must take some of the log measure of oil and pour it upon the priest's left palm, and the priest must dip his right finger into the oil that is upon his left palm, and must spatter some of the oil with his finger 7 times before Jehovah. In other words, on the altar, it sounds like. And of the rest of the oil that is upon his palm, the priest will put some upon the lobe of the right ear of the one cleansing himself, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the big toe of his right foot over the blood of the guilt offering. And what is left over of the oil that is upon the priest's palm, he will put upon the head of the one cleansing himself, and the priest must make atonement for him before Jehovah. And the priest must render up the sin offering and make atonement for the one cleansing himself from his impurity. And afterward, he will slaughter the burnt offering. So we had 1 ram for a guilt offering, 1 ram for a sin offering, and the young lamb for a sin offering, the lamb 1 year old, for the burnt offering, the lamb for the burnt offering, and the priest must offer up the burnt offering and the grain offering upon the altar, and the priest must make atonement for him, and he must be clean. However, if he is lowly and does not have enough means, he must then take 1 young ram as a guilt offering for a wave offering in order to make atonement for him, and 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour moistened with oil as a grain offering, and a log measure of oil, and 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, according as he may have the means. And the one must serve as a sin offering, and the other as a burnt offering. And on the 8th day he must bring them for establishing his purification to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting before Jehovah. And the priest must take the young ram of the guilt offering and the log measure of oil, and the priest must wave them to and fro as a wave offering before Jehovah. And he must slaughter the young ram of the guilt offering, and the priest must take some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it upon the lobe of the right ear of the one cleansing himself, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the big toe of his right foot. And the priest will pour some of the oil upon the priest's left palm, and the priest must spatter with his right finger some of the oil that is upon his left palm 7 times before Jehovah. And the priest must put some of the oil that is on his palm upon the lobe of the right ear of the one cleansing himself, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the big toe of his right foot, over the place of the blood of the guilt offering. And what is left over of the oil that is on the priest's palm, he will put upon the head of the one cleansing himself, in order to make atonement for him before Jehovah. And he must render up the one of the turtle doves, or of the young pigeons, for which he may have the means, the one of them for which he may have the means, as a sin offering, and the other as a burnt offering, along with the grain offering. And the priest must make atonement for the one cleansing himself before Jehovah. This is the law for the one in whom the plague of leprosy was, who may not have the means when establishing his purification. And Jehovah proceeded to speak to Moses and Aaron, saying, When you come into the land of Canaan, which I am giving you as a possession, and I do put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, the one to whom the house belongs must then come and tell the priest, saying, Something like a plague has appeared to me in the house. And the priest must give orders, and they must clear out the house before the priest may come in to see the plague, that he may not declare unclean everything that is in the house. And after that the priest will come in to see the house. When he has seen the plague, then if the plague is in the walls of the house, with yellowish-green or reddish depressions, and their appearance is lower than the wall surface, the priest must then go out of the house to the entrance of the house, and he must quarantine the house 7 days. And the priest must return on the 7th day. Excuse me. I'm trying to clear my throat here. There's something in my throat, in terms of a bit of a frog in my throat. And the priest must return on the 7th day and must take a look. And if the plague has spread in the walls of the house, okay, this throat thing is just caused by me eating sugar or dairy, which is what causes it usually. And if the plague has spread in the walls of the house, the priest must then give orders, and they must tear out the stones in which the plague is, and they must throw them outside the city into an unclean place. And he will have the house scraped off all around inside. And they must pour the clay mortar that they cut off outside the city into an unclean place, because it's unclean also. And they must take other stones and insert them in the place of the former stones. And he will have different clay mortar taken, and he must have the house plastered. If, though, the plague returns, and it does break out in the house after having torn out the stones and after having cut off the house and plastered it, the priest must then come in and take a look, and if the plague has spread in the house, it is malignant leprosy in the house, it is unclean, and he must have the house pulled down with its stones and its timbers and all the clay mortar of the house, and must have it carried forth outside the city to an unclean place. But whoever comes into the house any of the days of quarantining it will be unclean until the evening. And whoever lies down in the house should wash his garments, and whoever eats in the house should wash his garments. However, if the priest comes at all, and he does take a look, and there now, the plague has not spread in the house after having plastered the house, the priest must then pronounce the house clean, because the plague has been healed. And to purify the house from sin, he must take 2 birds, and cedar wood, and caucus scarlet material, and hyssop. I really feel fine, it's just my throat is acting strange. And he must kill the one bird in an earthenware vessel over running water. And he must take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the caucus scarlet material and the live bird and dip them in the blood of the bird that was killed and in the running water. And he must spatter it toward the house 7 times. And he must purify the house from sin with the blood of the bird and the running water and the live bird and the cedar wood and the hyssop and the caucus scarlet material. and he must send the live bird away outside the city into the open field and must make atonement for the house, and it must be clean. This is the law respecting any plague of leprosy and respecting the abnormal falling off of hair and respecting the leprosy of the garment and in the house and respecting the eruption and the scab and the blotch in order to give instructions when something is unclean and when something is clean. This is the law about leprosy. That concludes Leviticus 14 for today's study. Now we have Mark 14. And we see at the end of Mark 13, Jesus talked about the end times, what would happen, how it would be like the fig tree. That would be when you saw the signs of the tree putting forth leaves, you would know that figs would be soon to follow, and that was how we would know that the end of the world, the corrupt world, would be arriving, is we would see the signs that Jesus talked about, which were things like wars and earthquakes and then tribulation and powers being shaken in the heavens, stars falling out of the sky, figuratively anyway, and the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Now the Passover and the festival of unfermented cakes was 2 days later. You notice that? 2 days later. And we studied the year 30 CE and we found that 2 days was the difference between the Essene Passover and the Pharisee Passover in that year. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to kill him by crafty device, how to seize him by crafty device and kill him. For they repeatedly said, not at the festival, perhaps there might be an uproar of the people. And while he was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at the meal, a woman came with an alabaster case of perfumed oil, genuine nard, very expensive. Breaking open the alabaster case, she began to pour it upon his head. At this there were some expressing indignation among themselves. Why has this waste of the perfumed oil taken place? For this perfumed oil could have been sold for upward of 300 denarii and been given to the poor. And they were feeling great displeasure at her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you try to make trouble for her? She did a fine deed toward me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want to, you can always do them good, but me you do not have always. She did what she could. She undertook beforehand to put perfumed oil on my body in view of the burial. Truly I say to you, wherever the good news is preached in all the world, what this woman did shall be also told as a remembrance of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went off to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they rejoiced and promised to give him silver money. So he began seeking how to betray him conveniently. He was going to betray Jesus. Now on the first day of the unfermented cakes, when they customarily sacrificed the Passover victim, you notice they said the first day there. On the first day of the unfermented cakes. That indicates the Essene Passover, the first of the three, with the Sadducee Passover in the middle of the 3 days. When they customarily sacrificed the Passover victim, his disciples said to him, where do you want to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? We don't know if Jesus was an Essene or if he just celebrated with the Essenes in that year. With that, he sent forth two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man carrying an earthenware vessel of water will encounter you. Follow him, and wherever he goes inside, say to the householder, the teacher says, where is the guest room for me where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished in preparation, and there prepare for us. So the disciples went out, and they entered the city, and found it just as he said to them, and they prepared for the Passover. After evening had fallen, he came with the 12, and as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, Truly, I say to you, one of you who is eating with me will betray me. They started to be grieved and to say to him one by one, it is not I, is it? He said to them, it is one of the 12 who is dipping with me into the common bowl. True, the Son of Man is going away, just as it is written concerning him. But woe to that man through whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been finer for that man if he had not been born. And as they continued eating, he took a loaf, said a blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, take it, this means my body. And taking a cup, he offered thanks and gave it to them, and they all drank out of it. You notice that? It says they all drank out of it. It doesn't say whether they drank the same liquid out of it. And he said to them, this means my blood of the covenant, which is to be poured out in behalf of many. Truly I say to you, I shall by no means drink any more of the product of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Finally, after singing praises, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, you will all be stumbled, because it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered about. Where is that written? I think it's Zechariah, isn't it? Yeah. Zechariah 13 and 7. Strike the shepherd, and let those of the flock be scattered. Zechariah 13 and 7. And continuing. But after I have been raised up, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. But Peter said to him, even if all the others are stumbled, yet I will not be. At that Jesus said to him, truly, I say to you, you today, yes, this night, before a cock crows twice, even you will disown me three times. But he began to say profusely, if I have to die with you, I will by no means disown you. Also, all the others began saying the same thing. So they came to a spot named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit down here while I pray. And he took Peter and James and John along with him, and he started to be stunned and to be sorely troubled, and he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved, even to death. Stay here and keep on the watch. And going a little way forward, he proceeded to fall on the ground and began praying that if it were possible, the hour might pass away from him. And he went on to say, Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. And he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Did you not have strength to keep on the watch 1 hour? Men, keep on the watch and praying, in order that you do not come into temptation. The spirit, of course, is eager, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again and prayed, saying the same word. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were weighed down, and so they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, at such a time as this you are sleeping and taking your rest. It is enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us go. Look, my betrayer has drawn near. And immediately while he was yet speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived with him, a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and the older men. Now his betrayer had given them an agreed sign, saying, whoever it is I kiss, this is he. Take him into custody and lead him away safely. And he came straight up and approached him and said, Rabbi, and kissed him very tenderly. So they laid their hands upon him and took him into custody. However, a certain one of those standing by drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and took his ear off. But in response, Jesus said to them, did you come out with swords and clubs as against a robber to arrest me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and yet you did not take me into custody. Nevertheless, it is in order that the scriptures may be fulfilled. And they all abandoned him and fled. But a certain young man, wearing a fine linen garment over his naked body, began to follow him nearby. And they tried to seize him, but he left his linen garment behind and got away naked. That would be apparently the author of this book, John Mark. They now led Jesus away to the high priest and all the chief priests and the older men and the scribes assembled. But Peter from a good distance followed him as far as in the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting together with the house attendants and warming himself before a bright fire. Meantime, the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they were not finding any. Many, indeed, were giving false witness against him, but their testimonies were not in agreement. Also, certain ones were rising and bearing false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will throw down this temple that was made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.'" End quote. But neither on these grounds was their testimony in agreement. Finally, the high priest rose in their midst and questioned Jesus, saying, "Do you say nothing in reply? What is it these are testifying against you?" But he kept silence and made no reply at all. Again the high priest began to question him and say to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" Then Jesus said, "I am. And you persons will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." At this the high priest ripped his inner garments and said, "What further need do we have of witnesses? You heard the blasphemy. What is evident to you?" They all condemned him to be liable to death, and some started to spit on him and to cover his whole face, and hit him with their fists and say to him, "Prophesy," and slapping him in the face. The court attendants took him. Now while Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked straight at him and said, "You too were with the Nazarene, this Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "Neither do I know him, nor do I understand what you are saying." And he went outside to the vestibule. There the servant girl, at the sight of him, started again to say to those standing by, "This is one of them." Again he was denying it. And once more, after a little while, those standing by began saying to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for in fact you are a Galilean." But he commenced to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately a cock crowed a second time, and Peter recalled the saying that Jesus spoke to him, "Before a cock crows twice, you will disown me 3 times. And he broke down and gave way to weeping. And that concludes our study for today and concludes Mark 14, little children. Thank you for listening and watching. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you have a wonderful day. And I love you. And seek first the kingdom. Let us praise Jehovah, and may Jehovah bless us through the wonderful provision of the sacrifice of his only begotten Son, Jesus. Now, it is Wednesday, June 14th. My clock has gone haywire here. I can't get the calendar date on at the same point of my computer screen as normal. But it is June 14th, 2023, and the time is 18:13 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green, and in my behalf, it's Cammie and Sissy saying bye for now.